I like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer than that.
Rest easy. With the Sleep Number 360 smart bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your sleep number setting.
Can it really help me fall asleep faster?
Yes, by gently warming your feet.
Okay, but can it help keep us asleep?
It senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. It's our biggest sale of the year where all beds are on sale. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed. Only for a limited time. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
The Genie Show Monday Mocha Special is where I chat to an inspiring individual from some place in the world. They tell us their journey, some inspiring tips. It's literally like having a coffee with me. So join us. You can even eavesdrop on the story.
Be very, very quiet. It's Ginny. She's in her natural habitat. Yes, she's with someone, but who is she with? All we know for sure, it's Monday, and she's drinking a mocha. It must be Monday Mocha with Ginny Sarasvati.
One thing I've started doing in 2017 is drinking my mochas mindfully, especially on a Monday when I'm in such good company. My morning mocha gets me started. It gets my day going. So I want to savour every single sip of it. Now, the first three Monday mochas I've had have been with New Yorkers. I guess it's time I had a mocha with an Aussie. So, this week, I'm going to have a mocha with Nicholas Stone, the founder and CEO of Bluestone Lane. He's an Aussie in New York. Nick, being that you're a CEO of a coffee shop, this may be a redundant question, but do you drink coffee?
Yes. I either have a flat white or a piccolo latte. So, yeah, I drink milk with my coffees. I'm not, you know, hardcore black, long black or espresso. I like cold brew actually without milk, but that's sort of a function of living in America, I think, where everyone in summer drinks cold brew.
Do you find that there's an expectation for you to be hardcore about your coffee, firstly being that you're from Melbourne and owning Bluestone Lane?
Oh, I think you definitely need to be quite discerning and care about coffee experience. You don't even need to drink coffee to be part of our team and to be a really valued customer. It's what we're focused on is really providing much more than just a coffee product. It's really just a total experience, which is, you know, involves food and service and atmosphere and aesthetic and brand. So it's you know, it's obviously vital that all our team knows that, you know, where our blend comes from and the different types of beverages we can create with coffee. But you know, you don't have to be a coffee drinker to be a Bluestone Lane local at all.
At your cafes, you really encourage locals to immerse themselves in the experience of enjoying food and the company that they're in, so much so that you don't have Wi-Fi at any of your cafes. I'm wondering how well that goes down in New York.
Yeah. From day one, we've never offered Wi-Fi because we really wanted the experience to be far more immersive so people disconnect and take a break from whatever they're doing in their day. And it's a little bit controversial at the start because a lot of coffee shops, and particularly the precedent that Starbucks created, meant that a lot of people used coffee shops as their workplace. But it really does commoditize the product and experience and really makes it much more sort of transactional, less relationship orientated. So we excluded it and told people, hey, why don't you come to Bluestone with a friend or come and read a book or read, you know, some of the magazines that we provide, you know, in each store and just take an escape. And that's also very personal for me because my local in Melbourne or wherever I was working, I used coffee and going to get coffee is really a way to recharge and refresh and just take a break from work. And it was part of my daily ritual. And that's what we're trying to introduce here in New York. And I think people are appreciating it. We don't really get that many complaints about not offering Wi-Fi. I think most people are really thankful that they can actually be distracted by the experience rather than, you know, distracted by and really just moving out of their office and bringing it to another venue where they're doing the same thing and they're not really focused on anything that's or what's anything more broadly, what's happening around them or the food or what have you.
Do you hit the snooze button when you wake up?
Yes, I do, unfortunately. I wish I used to bounce out of bed
earlier in Australia and get into it. But I think with New York, you work a bit later, and also had the distractions to get out of work earlier in Australia, going to football training or what have you. But I think that's one of my 2017 New Year resolutions. So when my alarm goes, just to get up rather than to hit snooze, check my email, and then stay in bed for a bit longer. So I've got to get a bit more discipline around that. So it's an area of improvement for me, that's for sure.
Nick, your wife seems to have a well-executed plan when it comes to meditation and spiritual practice. Do you partake in it as well?
I've done a bit of meditation and yoga, but not to the degree that Alexandra and not to the, you know, sort of the ritualistic approach that she has. But no, I really think that my escape mentally is exercise. So I've always played a lot of sport, and I played football for you know 20 something years, you know, professionally, and also sort of at the amateur level with my schoolmates. And I find going for a run, going to the gym, doing something that gives me that sort of endorphins and focus for the day. So I'm trying to start every day by doing some form of physical activity. And yeah, I find that I can disconnect. I don't, you know, look at my phone. I can just go for a run and listen to music or work out with a buddy. And that's what I need to get myself going.
Who's someone who's left a heart print on you?
Oh, that's a very good question. Well, I love history, and I love biographies, and you know, I certainly have read up a lot about Mandela. He was, you know, such a visionary. In work life, you know, I've always inspired to read and find out more about what Richard Branson's done. I thought Shoe Dog by Phil Knight was an exceptional story of entrepreneurship and you know, out hustling the competition and finding a way. But yeah, and certainly in the sporting world, you know, I love stories about people that overcome adversity. I had, you know, my childhood hero was Jim Steins, and what he did in develop his game and come across from Ireland to Australia and take on Australian rules football and win a Brownlow medal and play more consecutive games than any other player. It was truly extraordinary. So, but every day I'm a recipient of incredible acts and inspiration. And there's a guy that I go to the gym with that is a young kid who's incredible. He's visually impaired, and he's run 3 marathons in 18 months, and he's done an extraordinary amount of stuff with his foundation. And, you know, I ran into him. I just admired his work ethic at the gym. I just remember looking at him doing, you know, like 50 burpees and going, wow, this guy's just an animal. And then I bumped into him again, and I said, listen, I really need a training partner. And you sort of know what you're doing, and you work at a greater intensity than me. So how about we partner up? And that's been, over the last couple of months, really interesting and certainly broadened my horizons and perspective on, you know, how challenging it is if you've got impaired vision or if you're blind. And there's certainly, you know, we're not utilizing all the technology out there to make it easier and give people that suffer this unfortunate disability with, you know, greater opportunities and access to live, you know, a fulfilled and rewarding life. I think it's we've got to do more, and I found that experience really interesting and inspiring. And yeah, but you know, I love stories. The best thing, there's something I just absolutely crave is to listen to people's journeys and what excites them, what's their passion, you know, how they've dealt with challenges, how they, you know, are trying to overcome them or if they have. And it's a bit like the Bluestone Lane journey, which is definitely non-traditional. It was founded by a guy, you know, myself, who never had any sort of hospitality experience or retail experience, never worked with coffee, and I came purely from this perspective as a customer and challenged a few rules and assumptions about what you could and couldn't do with, you know, super premium coffee experiences, particularly overseas. And it's been a credit to all the team and how they've pushed themselves and innovated that we've been able to grow to, you know, and open 14 stores in basically 3 years. So it's been really exciting, and every day is a challenge, and it's really just a big puzzle, a jigsaw puzzle. And some days the pieces fit and sometimes they don't, but you've just got to keep searching and giving it a go and innovating and challenging each other. And that high performance mentality, I think,
has really translated to some good initial results for us. So, and more importantly, I think we've made a difference to, you know, the daily ritual of many of our locals. They're really the benchmark of if we're on the right track and if what we believe we're doing is, you know, worthwhile and making a difference.
Do you take your phone to the bathroom with you?
Well, that's a loaded question. I think it's definitely sometimes stuck in, I must admit, and it sounds a bit gross and unhygienic, but yeah, I have.
Are you someone who checks for reactions constantly when you post something on social media?
I looked after the Bluestone Lane social for a long time. It was the most, and it still is, the most important marketing tool that we have. So it's really from a perspective of, you know, is the brand growing? Is there engagement? Are we communicating the right way? Are we generating a reaction? So it's not as emotional. It's really more business orientated because we really didn't have any marketing. We never spent really anything on marketing, and we didn't have any other initiatives other than to focus on the type of content we were putting out there and letting people know that these are the types of products we produce, the type of experience we provide, this is the aesthetic and brand that we've created. So, yeah, I think it was really more for like a utility business tool rather than, you know, just to see like how popular I am or if that type of like haircut like reacted well with people or something. I don't know.
Nick, if you could trade lives with one person for a day, who would it be?
I'd love to be sort of like Eddie Vedder for a day or Josh Homme would be pretty good or Tom York from Radiohead. So Eddie Vedder's, you know, the singer from Pearl Jam and Josh Homme's with Queens of the Stone Age and then Crooked Vultures and a few other bands. So that would be pretty cool to rock star. Or being Roger Federer would be pretty handy, especially in his peak when he was just invincible and his elegance and grace. And he's just such an incredible sportsman and ambassador for the game. His humility, sportsmanship was just incredible. So, yeah, there's a couple that I wouldn't mind just having a couple of days just to be that rock star at Madison Square Garden. That'd be pretty cool.
Bluestone Lane seems to have such an influence in New York and now in Philly too that you're going to be opening up a few more cafes across the country, I see.
We're definitely going to open a significant amount across 6 to 7 cities over the next 2 years. So we've got West Coast plans. We have plans for DC, Chicago, Jersey. We definitely want to keep building out New York. We've opened a second store in Philly and we've got a third under development. So we're really excited about the opportunities and the brands and the experience has been validated in its early stages. So we just want to go for it. And really, we believe that we've got the team and infrastructure to be able to execute. And that's the most important thing because we've invested so much in creating a premium experience and invested in the brand. And we really don't want to put anything at risk by growing too quickly when we don't have the infrastructure and team to support it. But the talent that we've been able to attract and develop is truly inspiring. So I'm very confident that we can expand and grow and be one of the leading hospitality exports out of Australia and fly the flag for our incredible coffee culture that we've developed and incubated and share it with, you know, some different parts of the world that are unfamiliar with it. And that's truly exciting and I'm very fortunate to be able to lead the team in that pursuit.
Monday, Mocha with Ginny Sarasvati.